Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is the season for Christmas, and it's celebrated 4 weeks out, and they call that Advent, which means coming. But as we know as Christians, Advent was his first coming, but not his second coming, and we're almost there. We're closer today, definitely, but many men of God today read the scriptures as though it could be an imminent act. However, if so, something precedes it, and that is another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and they're in conflict. The kingdom of light, which is Jesus' righteous kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness, which is Satan's wicked kingdom, and one of them will win. One of them will extinguish the other forever and ever. And the other one then will endure forever and ever. And so we're about to be rid of, and so don't at all worry about who wins. Jesus deliberately made two promises. I will build my church. Now, the kingdom of darkness is dedicated to our extinction, to our total disappearance from the earth. But Jesus said, I will. So that's a promise. And then he said, and the gates of hell, the dark kingdom, will not prevail against her. You're used to the word it because it's like an it, a neutral. But actually, it's not in the neuter. It's actually could be masculine, feminine, or neuter. But I know it's a her because it's the bride of Christ. It's the daughter of Jerusalem. Many in Jerusalem are coming to Yeshua in our day. Many Jewish believers by background are actually already turning to Yeshua as their only hope. Many in Israel, particularly of the leaders of Israel, have turned to Yeshua secretly, but nonetheless, really. And so there are more Messianic Jews today living in the land of Israel than ever before, accumulated for the last 20 centuries. So it's amazing. The best is yet to come, and it's ahead of us. So we have reason to believe that he's soon coming, and the other one will come first and then fall apart of its own weight. Just like the recent election, one team which is trying to overthrow the other team failed and shocked, shocking. Yet, it has been written that those who favor the Lord have an endurance, and those who are defiant, rebellious, who are lawless, who do not want to submit to God's rule, they will fail. You remember the Tower of Babel? They tried to finish the pyramid, and that's exactly what's going on today. The kingdom of darkness is Satan's original design was to overthrow God and his word and his purpose and his plan to redeem mankind, and so put him out of business. But it never happened. God interposed himself, came between the Tower of Babel builders, those builders who were trying to make a name for themselves. We defeated God. He defeated us in the flood, but we're paying him back now. We're going to build a tower so big that its top will be in the heavens, and they almost made it. You've got to give them credit. They almost made it. Wicked people almost make it. And then at the last minute, God pulls the plug and suddenly their machine drops down and the grid fails. So the Tower of Babel has never been finished, and the Bible is very clear about this. It will never be finished. And Jesus then made those two promises, swore a solemn oath, I will build my church. We're his church. Madeline, we're his church. That is amazing. Amen. And the gates of hell, those that are, you know, having their kingdom from under the earth, they want to build something on top to reach into the heavens and try to pull God down and try to knock him off his throne. It never has worked. And that's sad. Not a lot of people are not aware of it. If you were on the other team, you would be discouraged that you almost get it, and then you almost get it, then you lose it, and then you almost get it, then you lose it. And they're wearing themselves out. I feel sorry for them. And did you know that when we win, this is interesting, that not if we win, but when we win, they'll have a hope. Because the same way we got in, not by works, not by building something of man, but by faith, that Jesus Christ is the only builder, that Jesus Christ is the only one that has good news for the world. And so we're happy now. Yeah. Let everybody say it. I'm happy.
I'm happy.
And forevermore.
Forevermore.
And nobody can take it away.
Nobody.
If God be for you, who could be against you? You can't stop God from loving you. And he loves everybody. Even the builders of the Tower of Babel. He's not angry at them. He's not angry at them. You don't realize this, but Nimrod was never cursed by God. He did a cursed thing. And God stopped it. But he was actually giving them hope. Because when you build something of man, it doesn't last. But when you build God's house, it lasts forever, only you don't build it. Actually, the builder lives within you. The builder is building you. So you're being built by God. You are the building of God. Make the tree good, Jesus, and the fruit will be good. You. And so you are the fruit. You are, he sowed, you reap what he sowed. You don't reap what you sow. Because remember, he died. Remember, he died. When he died, you died. When he rose, you rose. When he reigned, you reign. And so we're reigning now. We're already reigning. We're not waiting for the millennium. We're not waiting for the day we see it. We actually already participating, partakers. Okay, so the first advent is when Jesus came and announced the kingdom, but did not establish it. Except us. He was the cornerstone of the building, right? He was the cornerstone of the building. And now he's building every stone on his living stone. So we're all living stones related to his stone. And everything else in the world will be annihilated. Annihilated. Annihilated means not what you think. It means an atom with its nucleus and its protons and its electrons, an atom, if it gets into a cyclotron or something that with strong velocity aims at the matter, the atom, it can destroy not the atom. It can destroy the composition of that atom and bust up its parts and realign it, transform it. So to annihilate something, it means you transform the form of its existence, but not the matter itself. The matter itself is just rearranged according to God's pattern. And so in physics, if you have antimatter, which is 5 or 6 times matter, if it bombards one another, if they run into one another, well, forget physics right now, but I'm talking about physics, but from a God point of view, God sends the antimatter to actually annihilate your old flesh, your old man. So it's rearranged to become spiritual rather than natural. Natural arrangements perish, but spiritual arrangements, relationships. In other words, all those protons, neutrons, all those stuff in there, electrons flying, so on and so forth, he rearranges them, but they're not gone. They're not annihilated, like destroyed forever. It's just the composition, the way they were held together. You were once selfish, sinful, only looking for pleasure, trying to avoid pain. That has now been destroyed for us. You're the church. You're the light. You're the salt. That's good news.
Amen.
And then he came the first time not to make it appear, but to announce it. Oh, I'm setting up God's kingdom, which the bad guys are trying to extinguish, eradicate, destroy forever. Sorry, I'm here to announce something. It can't be done. And so Israel's contribution to the humanistic Tower of Babel failed. So man in his best state, altogether nothing, nothing, nothing. When you are nice, you don't go to heaven. When you are at your best, very best, which includes all the religions of the world except ours, our religion in truth, not denominational Christendom, faulty, because they all build on law. Ours is the only one that's built on faith. So you don't go to heaven because you behaved yourself. You go to heaven because God behaved himself.
Amen.
No, I want to say it differently. God, Madeline, just listen to this. God can't lie. Violet. Where's Madeline?
Madeline's in
college. She's already in college. She's only this big.
Charlotte's a little one.
Charlotte. Oh. Do you like Madeline? Yeah. So. Okay. Well, tell her I preached a sermon on her. So.
Madeline needs it too.
Yeah. Charlotte. And which one's Violet?
Violet.
Yahoo.
This is John.
This is John?
Yes.
You've gotten bigger. Have you been eating? If you stop eating, you'll stay your size, regular size. You probably eat every day now. So the good news is that Jesus came the first time to announce the kingdom. That is, to declare it, and to start it, but not finish it. So, remember, the Satan didn't finish his kingdom, and Jesus hasn't finished yet his kingdom. But by faith, not works, by faith, you're already seeing spiritually, spiritual eyes. You can already see the finish. It's like this building before it was built. They had a sign out in front with a picture of it. And so you could see, that hole in the ground is going to be a big building. So some of you look like a hole in the ground right now. It's dug deep, but you kind of wondering, where am I going? How am I going to get there? How am I going to get there? You don't have to worry about it. The picture tells you what you look like in the future. You're a work in progress. So this building, Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against her. So we are the bride of Christ, that God is building. And maybe in our day, I think, Charlotte, you'll see it for sure. You'll see Jesus come back. Would you like that? Yeah. Would you like him to wait a little while? No. You're ready. All right. So Jesus is building something that can never be destroyed. It's indescribable, indestructible, indefeasible. You can't eliminate what God starts. God has never started a project and not finished it. The good work I began in you, because you're the building, I will surely, certainly complete, finish, accomplish perfectly. Everything Jesus does is perfect. Everything we do, even now as Christians, is imperfect unless you do it with Jesus. Then it's perfect. Everything you do with Jesus, because you're yoked to him, you're related to him. You remember the structure was annihilated. The flesh structure is now gone. But you're now realigned with Jesus, now living, dwelling in you. So therefore, you can do all things. You can do perfect things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and faith. Faithfulness. Why? Because God is faithful. So God is faithful, you are not. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so in other words, if you make a promise, you can't keep it. Unless the Lord, remember when you get married, you say something like this. You know, do you do da 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 da, do you promise da 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 da? But then God, it depends on God's will, not yours. Your will not make it. Your will is weak. Your will, you intend to build something, but you can't. You can't keep it. Relationships are hard. Anybody notice that? They're impossible. They're not even hard. They're not hard. They're impossible without God. But with God, all things are possible. With God, you can actually be a church. You can actually love one another. You can actually have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can actually. You can incarnate that every day. Start again every day. Start again every day. Start again every day. So fear is gone. If anyone man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So you actually can come every day. You can't come once for all. You can't come once for all. So now, no fear for this minute. But fear can come the next minute. So you're not made permanently. Why? Because God doesn't want you to forget the relationship. Otherwise, if you had it, you would ignore him. But the only way you make it in life, because that's your existence now. The former existence has been annihilated, destroyed. It isn't there anymore. But you have a new relationship with him. That's your life now. Christ in you. You're no longer you. You're Christ in you, you. It doth not yet appear, the new you, permanently, but it'll soon appear. Because we shall see him as he is. What is he? Well, he's a holy one. He's a savior. He's a Lord. But most of all, all of those things that he is your beloved. He is your bridegroom. And he's going to marry you and establish you on the throne with him. And you'll be his princess. Like Charlotte, you could be a princess. Or a queen. Did you know that the queen of heaven, that Satan's queen of heaven, actually will be destroyed forever and ever? That it will never come into appearance. It'll never. It can't, because that's been destroyed forever now in Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? So bump into Jesus. In other words, the one who kills you is the one who loves you. Kills your old man, old structure, and gives you a new, resurrected out of the old arrangement which he destroyed in order to heal you, in order to bless you, in order to give you the kingdom. Did you know it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom?
Praise the Lord.
And when you get the kingdom, you get all the goodies. You get everything that belongs to a righteous kingdom. To a glorious kingdom. So everything God has will be shared with you. God doesn't have anything that he keeps to himself. Everything he has is shared with his family. Is that powerful?
Amen.
It's something so good that the world yet can't comprehend it until it sees us. Until when it sees us, how we love one another, how we care for one another, how we rejoice always in trials and troubles and tribulations. Why? Because you can laugh at your problems. You can laugh at any difficulty standing before you. And if you say to the mountain, "Be thou cast into the sea," it will be done for you.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, nothing can stop God from loving you and you from being happy about it.
Amen.
Forever. As a matter of fact, that's how he knows who his children are. His children that are laboring aren't his children. They aren't his children. They may call themselves in the family, but they are not actually his children. His children are happy.
Amen.
Loving, happy, joyful, etc., etc., etc. So those fruits of the Spirit are nothing more than Jesus. Those fruits of the Spirit are the proof, the down payment, the sealing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you are actually filled with the glory of God. Now, now, now. The old has passed away is a past perfect tense. It, grammatically speaking, the perfect is almost never in the New Testament. The perfect tense is almost never employed. But that one is perfect. And the one next to it. So the first one, "I will build my church." So the old has passed away and the new has come. A new creation. In other words, after annihilation comes a new creation. But you have to have the annihilation first. That's chair 5. Chair 5 is the annihilation of you, the former you oriented to you. In other words, self-preservation. The law of self-preservation, me, mine, I, myself, all of that needs to be destroyed so that you are now no longer you, but you are now Jesus is you. And Jesus is no longer Jesus, a God far away, but he's a God who is now your Jesus. You remember he said that to Mary, "To my God and your God. To my God and your God." So he redefined God and he redefined man to be his man, his steward, his servant, his trustee, his beloved, his wife, his child, his something intimate spiritually. Since God is spirit, they that worship him must worship him, thank him. I do this every day. I did this morning. I do it every day. I spent 2.5 hours in worship before I had to come to church. Why? Because I would be unbearable if I didn't spend that much time with God to annihilate daily. I have to be annihilated, not just once. Once saved, always saved. No. But actually over and over and over and over again. And that's the beauty of when you're a Christian, you're teachable. You want to be annihilated by the antimatter every day. You want it to come and redesign your relationships. Not me liking me. Not me deifying myself and humanizing God. But me, let God be God. And I, his beloved. Wow. That's a new relationship. Based on not law, where I achieve something and proud of it. I make a name for myself. No. This way, you don't do anything. You can't do anything. You haven't done anything. And God has done everything. So how can you add to something that's already perfect? Okay, God, what you did was perfect, but I'm going to add to it. You can't. If it's perfect, it's perfect. And it's perfect for you because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He's already in relationship with the Father. So everything he does, everything he says is perfect. So let's read about the 4 royal titles. Okay, I want you to learn Hebrew today. Okay. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. Pele. Ya'etz. That means wonderful counselor. Pella, it means it's not a human thing. Pella means this is so wonderful that you wonder at it because it comes from God. So Pella Yaetz. Yaetz means that the counsel you give is wise, not foolish. The counsel you give as a king, as a lord. For unto us a son is given. A child is born. That's what Christmas is all about. That God sent his son, Jesus, but he wasn't Jesus. He was the divine logos, the divine word. He was God, Son of God. But the Son of God changed his existence. That is, he didn't cease to be Son of God. He just rearranged his form. So he changed the form. And he took on the form of a man so he could marry us. Now he's the husband, and you're the bride. So he formed himself so he could die. He couldn't die as Son of God. You can't kill God because he's a spirit. You can't kill a spirit. Have you ever tried one? You can't do it. So especially flesh can't do it. The flesh will be killed. The flesh, in the presence of the spirit, antimatter and matter, will be destroyed. So what God wants is not to kill you, but to destroy your old man of the flesh, the works that you've achieved. Isn't this powerful?
Yes.
Do you understand this, John, a little bit? Is, let's say you did something wrong. Have you ever done something wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a quiet yell, but it was a yeah. Okay. So let's say you did, but then God came into your life and spoke to you and said, I'm going to help you not to do wrong. And you said, thank you. I believe that. I need your help because every once in a while, I don't want to do the wrong, but I do it. I don't know why I did that, but I did it. And Jesus is always there to help you. That's why he came into the world to destroy your old, naughty John so that you could be a new, wonderful counsel, new, wonderful person. And people would wonder, John, you're reading your Bible. John, you're treating your sister nicely. And so that new being is actually what God is all about. So, Violet, same thing. So God loves each one of us and wants us to be rearranged to annihilate, which means to transform. To annihilate means to reduce to nothing your old relationship and to put you in a new relationship now so that you can do everything that pleases the Father. Because the Father himself provides the lamb. The Father himself provides the payment. What you owe, he pays. What he demands of you to be reconciled, he makes the reconciliation and provides what he requires. So under the law, you owe, but under the gospel, he paid. It's sweet. It's simple. It's so lightening. It's something that, you know, when a matter collides with an antimatter, what happens is heat and light and energy and power is thrown off. So that the matter actually is transformed, not actually destroyed. It's just that now the electrons and the protons and the neutrons and so on that make up that actually define that particular piece are no longer arranged that way, but rearranged. So you have now suddenly energy you never had before. Life that you never had before.
Amen.
Joy.
Hallelujah.
Peace. Patience and so on. So you have new power, capacity that you never had as a moral, nice behaving person. That's why, John, you're not always good. Violet, would you attest to that? Sometimes. But he's nice, like right now he's nice. He's behaving. But sometimes a thought comes into his mind, I think I'll chew some gum right now. You're not supposed to chew gum in church. You know that. And so thank you for nobody chewing gum today. You're all going to heaven now because you didn't chew gum. No, you're going to heaven because God wants you. It's God's desire, and his desire trumps everything else. So his law, left hand, is triumphed over, trumped by his equity, his gospel, his good news, his love for you. So every family is either arranged one way or another. That's powerful. And only God can do it. So you can't rearrange yourself. You can't, by morality, call that virtue. Virtue is not just morality, man in his best state, which is altogether vanity. Virtue is the work of the Holy Spirit in you because of the new arrangement with him. That he's in you, and he's for you, and he's working through you. That is a new arrangement. So the relationship is all God wants. The theory of relativity came about by Einstein. E equals mc squared. By simply rearranging what we think, rearranging what we believed true. And because he did this, he altered our view of the universe. That light wasn't what I thought it was, and truth, and so on and so forth. Those things that once we believed, we no longer believed. In spite of the Heisenberg principle, that the instrument by which we measure actually contaminates the thing we're measuring. And so Einstein came up with the idea that energy is produced when mass meets something else, and under high velocity, things change. I'm riding in the train this way. It's going at 50 miles an hour. John, solve this. I think you can solve it. And then a train coming on a track opposite me, parallel to me, is going 100 miles this direction. So I'm going 50 miles, but this train flies past me. If relative to the ground, to the rails, I'm traveling 50, I'm still traveling 50. But it appears, when I look at the other train going fast like that, relative to that, it's changed. It's no longer 50. Now I'm confused, and that confuses people. So relative to God, you're his beloved. Relative to man, proving yourself to be a wonderful person, you have an illusion. And that needs to be annihilated, because you're naturally going to try to preserve yourself. Whereas if you lose your life, you actually find it to God. Lose your life to God. Surrender your life to God. God, render me today. I'm surrendering. I'm giving up. I'm surrendering to you to be my Lord and Savior and bridegroom and whatever you have in mind. So I surrender all. That gospel, if a grain of wheat abides alone, it's just alone on top of the ground, it bears no fruit. In other words, it hasn't been annihilated yet. So if it's an atom, if it's into itself, into it's a singular whole, all alone, then something happens. You'll be bombarded by something. Satan will say, stay where you are. Be selfish. Take care of yourself. Protect yourself. But God says, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, is annihilated, no longer are you you. Your existence is gone as you, lording over you. But now, the antimatter has attacked the matter, the singular, the atomic, and made you in relationship to the living God, who happens to love you, and he's the only one in the universe that loves you. Only one. Only one. So the only one that loves you is not other people, unless other people also are related to the loving God. Then if you have God over your family, as I know, Violet, in your family, God is the Lord of your family, not Dad, not Mom. And I believe some of your older daughters have challenged your lordship because they wanted to make sure you were perfect and discovered you weren't. And you admitted that, yes, I am not perfect, but God is. And that keeps the family together. That keeps relationships from falling apart. Otherwise, the electrons fly off. And now they're mixed up. People go insane because they don't know who they belong to. They don't know who they are. Who am I? You're a new man in Christ. So Margaret, you're a new woman in Christ. You can no longer go back to the woman you were 6 years ago, 7 years old. You can no longer go back. Once God has touched you, you don't guarantee the maintenance of the kingdom. He does. Pele Yaetz, wonderful counsel. I've given you wonderful counselor right now. Why? Because Jesus has given me wonderful counsel to share with you. Pele Yaetz, wonderful counselor. The next one is El Gabor. El Gabor, this second title for this son that was born, this child that was given. This second idea, El Gabor, mighty God, wonderful counselor he will be, mighty God he is. El Gabor. El means God, and Gabor means great or mighty or powerful or magnificent. So, wonderful counsel. Jesus is that kind of king. There's no other king, by the way, there's no other king that has ever been on the face of the earth who sat upon a throne like this Jesus, whose title is Pele Yaetz, El Gabor. A powerful God. Whatever he intends to do, he is able to do. And he will do it. Wow, that is powerful. He gave us wonderful counsel now, but can he pull it off? Maybe the enemy will stop him. For example, if you're the atom that the antimatter is trying to destroy, you'll resist that. You'll try to avoid getting hit by that antimatter because you don't want to be extinguished. You don't want to be decimated. But he's only after your flesh. He's just rearranging you, transforming you, putting you in a new relationship to the other train so that you now see things differently, so that you will be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And when men see your salt and your light, they'll glorify your Father. Amen. In heaven. They'll become worshipers of the true and living God. So the very thing you fear is actually the thing you need to face. face your worst fear. I'm being destroyed by God, I think. He's my enemy. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 he's your lover. He's destroying your arrangement, which is anti-God. So you're the antithesis of his thesis. You're the one that's being destroyed. So men come up with a way of saving themselves through a synthesis. Ah, the very essence of modern philosophy. But it's really an ancient philosophy, is that you can't build without God. And not only that, he's already built. He's not just thinking of building. He already built you before the foundation of the world. Did you know that you were crucified with Christ and he was crucified before the foundation of the world? That's the formula he came up with. Is that I'm going to create man, and he will always do my will and pleasure on earth and be my steward and account to me, and every moment of his life he will give me worship and love to the neighbor, and he will reflect my glory. He'll be my servant, my beloved. Well, that plan didn't come to pass. The very first story of the Bible tells you that men fell. They arranged themselves independent of God, the antimatter. But see, the antimatter matters because he loves you. And he's only going to remove the disease. He's only going to rearrange you in not his favor, but for your benefit, for your happiness, for your joy, for your full life, for your eternal destiny, purpose, meaning. Wow. So God is good.
Amen. Amen.
Violet, does any of this mean anything? Good. If it doesn't, it's not my fault. But you can ask your brother, your older brother. He'll explain it to you in scientific terms. Now, the third title he has is Pele Yaetz El Gibor, and then the third one is Avi Ad. Avi Ad. Avi Ad means everlasting father. Jesus is our father. Why? Why? Because he's the first fruits of the Father. But he's our father. Why? Because he is the creator, governor, ruler of the new creation. So he's the first fruits of the new creation because he's the first one that resurrected from out of the realm of the dead. In other words, the isolated you. He didn't die for himself, he died for you. So when you were isolated and alone, you were dead. You thought you were alive biologically, but that was temporal. And so then you sin, you die, and you're now in a sin relationship apart from God. You can do nothing. But now in God, through God, with God, you can do all things. So he actually came to destroy your destruction. Your self-destruction. Because you were headed for Hades.
Yeah.
And you'd remain there. No one could get you out. But he resurrected from the dead. First one. So he was actually not just the begotten of God. But he was the begetter of you. So now God, through Jesus Christ, is reconciling the world to himself. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. His equity, his triumphing over his law. So the law actually is a promise in disguise. The law actually is a promise in disguise. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not lie. You shall not, and so on. But that actually is, if I change the inflection, if I change the relationship, if I put it instead of under the law that condemns, and I put it in the equity that saves, delivers, sets free. It's like this. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not lie. You shall not. You shall not. So every law is actually a promise in disguise. The words don't have to change. Just rearrange them with a new inflection. See God as a loving father, not as an angry judge. So he looks like, he appears to be, to your reason and your conscience, God, you're going to change me. I feel condemned. I feel afraid. You know, I feel nervous. You know, no. Laugh. So, Pele Yaetz, El Gibor, third royal title, Aviad. Jesus is not only, he is your father now. He is your everlasting. He not only starts his kingdom, he can maintain it forever and ever and ever, ever. And you. Because the kingdom has a kingdom of people. And you're the people that he has a kingdom of. So now he is Pele Yaetz El Gibor, mighty, powerful. He can do anything. But he's also everlasting father. And the last one, Sar Shalom. Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. Now, Violet, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to say those four Hebrew titles. So I just want you to pay attention. Pele Yaetz. Yes. El Gibor. Aviad. Sar Shalom. Awesome. All four. Maybe John will help you. Charlotte, help her. Do you know one of them? Do you know Pele Yaetz? Aviad. Right. It's good. Because I think she might have forgotten that one. And Sar Shalom, that's the easiest one. Prince of Peace. In other words, peace isn't peace. Peace means you are rightly aligned, perfectly in alignment with God, spirit, soul, body. Not just spirit, not just soul, not just body. You're aligned in every way so that you're Christ-like, spirit, soul, body. Why? Because you've been realigned by God through the law, which came as antimatter to your matter. That is, the way you were composed. By breaking it up and rearranging it. Do you ever notice little kids at Christmas time get blocks? And then they get those blocks and they immediately build them up. And then they look at them and they're so proud. And then soon, if it's a boy, they knock it down. they built the system up and then immediately they knock it down. And they're happy to knock the thing down. That's the way God is with you. He builds you, and then you don't look exactly right, and you just knock it down and start all over again. Now, God has made you today to those four, this son that was given, this child that was born at Christmas, has these four royal titles. No king on earth has any of those titles, none of them. This is the only King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you're the Lord, small l, that he's Lord over. You're the king, small k, that he's king over. So he's not just the king of kings of the earth, which he is, but he's the king of you, spiritual kings. So there's an intimate relationship between God and man forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Lynn.
Did you say that the Sar Shalom is what means rightly aligned?
Yes. Yes. You remember the box called the Ark of the Covenant? Okay. Down in the bottom of the box, there's a law, the Ten Commandments. There's also some manna and also the rod of Aaron. But in the bottom of the box is a picture of God, his presence with us. He's a law-keeping God, a holy God, and he wants you to be holy like he is holy. So the law tells you what to do, but it doesn't forgive you if you aren't. And it doesn't help you if you aren't. So that can't be true. So the box on top, the covering of the box, is mercy seat. So now the law that condemns you, now it's forgiven through the blood of Jesus, and the power and the glory helps you to change. So you not only are declared righteous mercifully by his, what they call, imputed righteousness, but you now actually are righteous on earth, as it is in heaven. So the law, which tells me what to do, covered by the mercy, which forgives me for not doing it, and destroys then my confidence that I have in myself, I can do it. No, you can't. So even though you're a special people called Israel, and you're proud of that, and you think, and they said these words, we will do it. Yeah, but you can't. So the mercy forgives me for can't, for being self-reliant, for thinking I could do it apart from God. But now I need his mercy, which forgives me, and I need his power, which transforms me from day to day. So that is Shar Shalom. All three, the holiness, the mercy, the power. That's the glory of God. All three represent his glory, represent his love. The love is to destroy your old man, but the love is also to forgive you so that you become a new man. But the law also is the power of the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower you and enable you to actually walk in this world so that men see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So you can see that each religion and each denomination has a aspect of that that they preach and teach. But unless you have the whole, it doesn't work. So Shar Shalom is to align you individually, spirit, soul, and body, but to also align you, because the second part of the law is not just that I personally worship God with all my heart and soul and strength, that's individual, but I also love my neighbor, whoever he may be, she may be, including my enemies, as myself. It's powerful. God restored then, not Adam and Eve before the fall, but he restored Adam and Eve before the fall, their innocence. He restored his intention, not what they actually did. So being innocent doesn't make you a heaven dweller, but being that God intended by his loving, benevolent, merciful kindness, Pele Yaetz El Gibor Avi Ad Shar Shalom. God always intended, and now you know the truth. That's what Jesus came to share, and that's why the prophets prophesied it, for it happened in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. I hope you are blessed today. Amen. By this message. All right, who wants to testify? Testify. I learned something today, Karen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the wonderful word that I know is straight from God.
Mm.
It's powerful.
Mm.
And I appreciate you letting us know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Who else? This is what I gained. Why? It's personal. I'm stronger. I'm clearer. I welcome antimatter to destroy me daily. I die daily, Paul says, so that every man mature in Christ, every man mature in Christ, every man mature in Christ, and then we can be. If every man is not mature, the church can't come together. So the pastor's fault is to make some men mature, but others not. In other words, he didn't do a good job. But when you have these titles, you understand that it's not the pastor that does it, but Jesus who does it through the pastor. So pray for Jesus to send out laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
Yes. Brief.
Yeah. God has been restoring me completely, my breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And just he uses a natural deal.
Mm-hmm.
but I can smell, I can breathe.
Wow.
Breathing problems. Really simple.
Wow.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Glory
wow.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Who else? El Gabor, powerful. Yes.
Amen. But it's not up to me to make things right.
Yes.
Amen.
And even if it were, you couldn't do it. But even if you couldn't do it, God has already done it. It's powerful.
So we can relax.
By the way, I owe this whole message to Julia Schulenbart. Because she had a word from God about annihilation. And she shared that with me, and it fixed everything in my mind. Ah, that I never knew that word was key. So,
amen.
Julia, you're here.
Amen, awesome. Julia.
Come here. Come here. You had a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a powerful story. This is a real revelation that she received a while back, and it changed my life. Go ahead.
About 2 years ago, I had a dream. Actually, it was a nightmare at that time. And in this nightmare, I saw I was with my love. And I was trying to escape in a car. But this strange, unknown, dark figure came and grabbed my love and laid him on top of the car, took a knife, and started slowly slicing him down the middle, right down the torso, the abdomen, the guts. And I was standing there watching, completely powerless and helpless. And that strange figure was oblivious to me, was not interested in me, but I was paralyzed with fear and terror. And I awoke from this nightmare in a panic attack. And all I could do was just say Jesus and pray in the Spirit. And even though I didn't want to go back to sleep into the nightmare, I guess I did. But I awoke in the morning, and the word that screamed out in me was annihilation. And I sat on that for several weeks, and then I started researching the word annihilation, and I found a physics definition of it. And I actually asked Margaret to expound on the physics definition of it, because she understands physics quite well. And that's when the Lord showed me, it's okay. It wasn't a nightmare. It felt like a nightmare, but it wasn't. It was actually that you're being destroyed, but you're not going to cease to exist. You're just going to be transformed.
Amen.
And when you're transformed, it'll be stronger. It'll be more powerful, but it'll be in His Spirit. It'll be in Him where I'm no longer, it's no longer me. And then I realized in that dream, my love was myself. I was me watching myself, what I loved, what I idolized, what I put higher above God.
Oh, amen.
That was my love. I loved that part of myself, and I had to hold it secure and protect it, and God wanted to annihilate that. And I had to stand there helplessly watching and completely powerless. Yeah. But now I no longer call it a nightmare. You know, it was a spiritual dream. So now I realize it's safe to be annihilated. In fact, it's a blessing.
Amen.
It's terrorizing because you have to lose the very thing that you're terrified of, and that's your complete existence of what you know of yourself. And that is, for me, later on, weeks later, the Lord showed me. What I was terrified of losing was my own strength to survive, my own will to survive, my own knowledge, my own understanding. in order to survive, to make it in this world, to understand. And in order for that to die, then what am I? Then who am I? You know, what significance do I have then? Then I have no identity. I have no face. You know, and it was powerful. And anyway, and then, but that's the only way then I could learn and begin to learn a new identity in Christ. But with that being annihilated, that was trumping,
right?
You know, the ability even to even see or learn of a new identity in Christ. So, you know, I thank Margaret for expounding on the scientific definition so I could understand it spiritually. And then, you know, and then Pastor Jim can articulate it even further. And it's just growing bigger and bigger and bigger.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. God bless. Powerful. So hers came by a supernatural revelation from God in a bad dream, but what appeared to be a bad dream, nightmare. But actually, it turned out to be a freedom and a blessing to be released from yourself. Because if you lose your life, you find it. If you surrender to God, you're actually set free. If you're a slave of God, you're actually freed by God to be the self God originally intended for you to be. Now, peace comes. Sar, shalom. Total peace, because you're no longer at war with yourself, with the world, with the flesh, with the devil. You're now at peace with God, and all things are well. It's powerful. It's powerful. So I thank Julia for that word that was given to her when she woke up in the morning, because it's a word that described everything that she'd seen the night before, because she didn't realize that it was her that was being killed, but the wrong her, the her that was trying to find security in this world rather than the certainty of God's word. So trade security in the world for certainty of the word. This word, Pele Yaetz, El Gabor, Avi Ad, Sar Shalom, that word sets you free. This king has come to alter the world to be what God originally intended us to be. That's the church. That's the bride of Christ. That's who we are. That's our destiny. All right. God is good. Mark, close in prayer.
Father, we thank you that, thank you, Lord, that you brought your word, and you're faithful to bring your word when we ask, Lord. We thank you that as Jim was preaching and Julia was talking, I was thinking nihil, right? Annihilation, that's nihil. Nihil is the center, it's the root. Nihil means nothing. So I've always assumed annihilation just means turned into nothing. And that's what it means. And thank you, Lord. This is quite a revelation that you, Lord, you're the ultimate conserver of energy and matter. Lord, you have nothing but our best interest in mind. And whatever you annihilate, Lord, is something that's hurting me. And whatever you bring is something that's going to help me. So I'm just thanking you, Lord.
Yeah.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank your holy name.
Amen.